Now, we have seen how God must get first place in my life. That was the first commandment. Then we saw how to get the right picture of God. That was the second commandment. And today, I want to tell you how to take God seriously. And Exodus chapter 20, verse 7 gives us this third commandment. Now listen carefully. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses His name. Now, what's the big deal? What's so special about God's name that misusing it is the subject of one of the Ten Commandments? Don't misuse my name, God says. Well, you know, of course, that the Hebrews believed that your name represented your character, your personality. And God's name is God's character. And if you're going to learn how to be serious with God, you've got to learn how to use His name correctly. So first of all, let's take a look this morning at some ways in which we often misuse God's name. In Isaiah 52, verse 5, God says, "All day long my name is constantly blasphemed." Now that's pretty awful, isn't it? In the first place, I would suggest that we often misuse God's name by using it to insult. To insult. When we think of this commandment, we usually think of profanity or swearing or cursing. Now, Webster says that swearing is treating something sacred with abuse, contempt, or irreverence. Now, how many of you would agree that our society today is prevalent with profanity? It's pretty obvious, isn't it? Books, records, magazines, movies, videos, TV shows, everybody. The comedians today are basically garbage mouths. You get people like Joan Rivers or Eddie Murphy or Richard Pryor, and they can't utter a sentence without taking the Lord's name in vain, and they all think it's very funny. Now, for many people, swearing is a lifestyle. They can't talk without cussing. Do you know what amazes me? It amazes me that people who never pray, people who never go to church, people who never read the Bible, people who deny God, cannot speak one sentence without using His name. It's God this or God that. Have you ever noticed how many things hell gets compared to? It's as cold as hell. That's bad theology. It's hot as hell. That's better theology. It's as windy as hell. It's raining like hell. Everything is compared to hell. Now, why do people use God's name to insult? Well, I think they do it basically because they are very, very insecure. Profanity, as someone has said, is weak people using strong words. You know, it doesn't take any IQ at all to cuss. Any idiot can swear. You can teach a parrot to swear fluently. It's just a cover-up for insecurity. I am macho blankety blank. And people say, man, he's a mean one. Yes. I think it's also a lack of emotional control. People usually swear when they're uptight or frustrated or angry. You know, somebody cuts you off in traffic, or you stub your toe, or you hit your thumb, or the waiter spills something and you just blurt out mad dog backwards. Ah, you got it. It's a lack of emotional control. We use God's name to insult others. And then secondly, we misuse God's name to indulge ourselves. God gets used as an excuse many a time. Someone says, I feel that God is telling me to skip church today. I heard about a woman not too long ago who said, I don't go to church every Sunday. I just go when God tells me to. Poor God gets blamed for so much. We justify our own desires, and God is a pushover. I know it's wrong, but I know that God will forgive me. That's misusing God's name. And then, thirdly, we misuse God's name to intimidate people. You know, some people are real pros at this. They use God, as it were, to back up their weak argument. They bring God in to reinforce their opinion or to manipulate other people. You'll hear people say things like this, God told me to give you this message. And we say, well, who wants to argue with God? Or they'll say, God has revealed to me what's wrong with you. Wow. I've often wondered, why doesn't God talk to me directly? After all, I pray once in a while too, you know. God told me that unless you do what I tell you, you're sinning. We use God to manipulate people, to intimidate them. It's as if they have received a handwritten note that says, thus saith the Lord, this is for you. Now, in society, when you take someone else's name and use it for your own purpose, you know what that's called? It's called forgery. If you sign someone else's name on a check to get money you don't have, that's forgery. I wonder how many spiritual forgers there are around these days who are using God to manipulate other people and to get their own desires. You remember what we heard on television a year or two ago? If you don't send me the $4 million we need, I just know the good Lord is going to take me home. And good old Oral is still hale and hearty, enjoying his 3 palatial homes in Tulsa, Beverly Hills and Palm Springs. That's misusing God's name. Many people are hurt and turned off because they have been intimidated by the misuse of God's name. You know, parents sometimes get frustrated by their child's disobedience, and when nothing else works, they just burst out with, well, God will get you for that. And that's misusing God's name. And then fourthly, sometimes we misuse God's name by trying to impress other people. Have you ever met someone and at once you say to yourself, this guy is trying to impress me with how spiritual he is? There are spiritual show-offs, you know. They want you to count how many times they say, praise the Lord. And you get this constant patter of religious cliches Bless God. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And you know, their mind isn't even there. It's neutral. Now, of course, we should praise the Lord. But don't make God a cliché. When you just want to use His name as a filler in a conversation. Somebody says, you know, my husband just got a wonderful promotion. Praise the Lord. And you think to yourself, my husband didn't get the promotion he was up for last week. And then fifthly, we can misuse God's name impulsively. Impulsively. That's when we use God's name as a reaction to something. Like when you react by using God's name when somebody says, I've just caught a 10-pound fish, and you say, good God, that's great. Or somebody says, Susie's getting married, and you say, my Lord, at last. Or, I just spit my pants, oh my God. You know, they tell a story in Ireland. I heard it 50 years ago. I shouldn't really tell it. It isn't quite a sermon story, but you'll get the point. I'm going to tell it anyway. A story about a prim and proper young Episcopalian curate who was taking part in a play that was to be given by the young people of the church in the parish hall. And in the course of the play, the curate was to be shot at close range. And he was to put his hands to his breast and say, and groan indeed, oh my God, I'm shot. This, however, was altogether inappropriate language for the young curate. So the director compromised by allowing him to say, oh my goodness, I'm shot. Well, when the night came for the play to be staged, some of the young people got a gun that made a very loud bang, but which also shot red ink. So the great moment came. The fatal shot was fired. The curate said, oh my goodness, I'm shot. Oh my God, I am shot. Now that, folks, is a classic example of misusing the name of God impulsively. Atta girls, Ellie, you're enjoying that one, aren't you? Remember, God is not an exclamation point. The Bible says, those who honor me, I will honor, but those who despise me will be disdained. When you honor God's name, you take Him seriously. Now, the point is, how do you take God more seriously? What does it mean to take God seriously? Well, I want to suggest three ways in which you can take God seriously. And the first thing is this. Well, let's look at Colossians 3:17 to begin with. The apostle says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. I heard about a Japanese girl who said to a visiting American one day, Americans must be very religious. And he said, what makes you say that? And she said, well, I see all your movies and they're always mentioning God's name. Misusing God's name. Now, how do you take God more seriously? Number one, you take God seriously by being sincere when you worship. By being sincere when you worship. Think about what's happening when you're in this room at 10:30 on Sunday morning. Concentrate on the Lord. Look at Psalm 29, verse 2. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Oh, that's awesome, isn't it? And that just means true worship always focuses on God. Not on what other people are wearing. Not on how well or how poorly the pastor preaches. Not on how well the choir sings. Not on what the temperature happens to be in the room. No, true worship focuses on the Lord. So we must concentrate on Him. In Isaiah 29:13, God says, "These people worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." You see, God is saying, don't just go through the motions. When you go to church, don't play church. Really focus on the Lord. How often we find ourselves singing the hymns in church and our minds are a million miles away. You weren't even thinking about the words. Or you bowed in prayer and someone is praying and you're thinking about the football game tonight. And so worship so easily becomes a ritual. How often have you sat and listened to an exposition of God's Word and your mind was just in neutral? Of course, you never really do that, do you? Not in this church. God says, don't play games with me. Be serious. Be sincere in your worship. Don't just give me lip service, but really worship me with your heart and with your mind. When we gather to worship, we put on the back burner what happened last week. We forget what we're going to do this afternoon, and we focus in on God. Look at our Lord's words in Matthew 6, verse 7. When you pray, don't use a lot of meaningless words as the pagans do. He's saying, don't just mouth these trite phrases and cliches. Do you know something? This will maybe shock you, but do you know that saying praise the Lord can be misusing God's name if you don't mean it? Isn't it significant and sinister to recall that Jim Baker named his club the PTL Club, the Praise the Lord Club? Now, if Jim Baker had really praised the Lord, would he be where he is today? I think not. You can say, it's a perfect day for our family picnic, praise God. But if you don't really mean in your heart to thank God for the good day, then you're misusing God's name. You might not be truly grateful. Maybe it was just a cliche. It wasn't a swear word, but you didn't really mean it from the heart. God says, don't use any meaningless words. Now, let me give you a homely illustration of what I mean. You come home from work one evening, tired and hungry, and a tantalizing aroma from the kitchen greets you at the door. The rolls are smelling great. There's hot apple pie just out of the oven. There's roast beef and potatoes. Your wife once again has fixed you a perfect meal. And what do you do? Do you say, with your eyes rolling in your head, praise the wife, glory, hallelujah, praise the wife? Of course you don't. I have an idea that she will appreciate it a lot more if you'll say, honey, you've made my favorite meal. Oh, I love roast beef. I love hot rolls. I love apple pie. And you're such a good cook. I appreciate the time you took getting this all ready? You see, the point I'm making is be specific in your prayers. Now, I'm not saying, don't misunderstand me, I'm not saying don't praise the Lord, but I am saying that so many people say those words with their mind just out of gear, and they just think they're being so spiritual by exclaiming, "Praise Jesus, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, oh Lord." At halftime, they don't even think what they're talking about. You say to them, "Why do you praise the Lord?" And they say, "Well, I just praise the Lord." And if you praise the Lord sincerely, then do it all you want, but be sincere in your worship. Be sincere in your worship. Number two, be selective with your words. Be selective with your words. Watch what you say. Guard your mouth. Control your tongue. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew 12:36 that Edward read to us this morning. He says, "I tell you that man will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken." Now, I don't know about you, but that is not one of my favorite scripture verses. Every careless word. Boy, I've said a few careless words in my lifetime. I think we ought to guard against swearing, but I think we should also guard, get this, we should also guard against slang. Have you ever stopped to consider the origin of the slang we use, where it comes from? You know that slang is just a shorthand form of swearing. It's a substitute for the stronger stuff. We say "dadgummit" instead of "goddammit," or "Judas Priest" rather than "Jesus Christ," "heck" rather than "hell," "darn" instead of "damn," "gosh" in the place of "God." Professors of language inform us that history, as it went along, God became "by gad," "by golly," "by gum." Jesus became "gee whiz." Instead of "Christ" came "cripes," "Jiminy Christmas," "beepers creepers," and "for crying out loud." "G" is the first letter of God and is the first syllable of Jesus. So when we say "G," we're saying Jesus. "Gosh" is God with the final letter shaded. You say, "Well, I don't mean anything by that." But that's the point. You don't mean anything by that. And God says, "My name is too holy to just be used by not meaning anything by it." How be if I said this to you? "My dear people, I can't remember where the heck I put my darn sermon notes. Geez, that makes me mad, gosh darn it all." Now, I didn't swear, but you get the message, don't you? What am I saying? Watch your slang, because a lot of slang is just a cop-out for taking the Lord's name in vain. Remember, the tongue is not the problem. The heart is the problem. Look at Luke 6:45. "For out of the overflow of a man's heart, his mouth speaks." You see, what comes out comes from the heart. It's just like the computer word, you know, garbage in, garbage out. What goes in is going to come out inevitably. It's hard to keep your language clean in today's society because your subconscious is constantly bombarded by profanity in movies and videos and books and magazines, by friends at work, by friends at school, even by bumper stickers. My goodness, I see bumper stickers at If my wife's in the car, I feel like blushing. I believe that Christians are too compromising when it comes to profanity. I think we sit and put up with it on television. And I know the excuse I hear people say, I just don't let it bother me. But friends, it bothers God, and it bothers Him so much that in Leviticus 24:16 He says that it's worthy of the death penalty. Listen, whether an alien or native born, when he blasphemes the name of God, he must be put to death. It's serious. It's not funny, no matter what the comedians say. Whatever you allow into your mind is eventually going to come out. God says, don't misuse my name. Those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise my name will be disdained. It's serious. If you're a parent, you should review the albums of your children. You are naive if you think there isn't porno rock out there today. Listen to what your kids are listening to and see if it's pleasing to the Lord. Yes, be serious when you worship. Be selective with your words. And then thirdly, be steadfast in your walk. Be steadfast in your walk. Make sure that your lifestyle matches what you say you believe. Make sure that your talk is consistent with your walk. Make sure that what you profess comes out in your personality. Make sure that what you do does not contradict what you say you believe. Look at 2 Timothy 2:19. Everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. What does that mean? Just this. If you're going to call yourself a Christian, you had better act like one. Because if you aren't acting like one, you're taking the Lord's name in vain. And you're turning other people away from Christ. Because rather than being a stepping stone to Jesus, you're a stumbling block to keep them from Jesus. When I say I'm a believer and I act in another way, I'm misusing the name of God. Look at what Titus says in 1:16. They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny Him. And Jesus said it like this. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and yet don't do what I say? My friend, let me ask you this question. Is your lifestyle ever inconsistent with your label? Do you take God seriously? By being sincere in your worship? By focusing on Him? You don't just play games and put your mind in neutral and think about the stock market? And then by being selective with your words, by watching what you allow into your mind, because what goes in is going to come out. And by being steadfast in your walk, because too often we're just simply inconsistent and don't practice what we preach. Now let's face the facts, people. The truth is that one way or another, we've all misused God's name. That's the bad news. The good news is that God wants to forgive us. He wants to wipe the slate clean. And He says, let's have a tongue cleansing. Let's have a heart cleansing. Let's start all over again. Look at Acts 4:12 and see how powerful the name of Jesus is. Listen, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to man by which we must be saved. Friends, there's one way to heaven and only one. I didn't say that. God says it. Jesus said, I am the way. He didn't say, I'm one way. I'm a good way. I'm the best way. I might be the way. No, He said, I am the way. Now that may appear to be narrow, and it is. People say, oh, there are many, many roads and all, and they all lead to heaven. The Buddhist goes his way, and the Muslim goes another, and the Jew goes another. You know, that's like saying, I can go into a phone booth and dial any number and get home. My friends, you know that isn't true. There's only one number that will reach your home, not many numbers. God says there is no other name by which we must be saved except the name of Jesus. Look at John 20, 31. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing in Him, you may have life in His name. Listen also to Romans 10, 13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God says, I will save you if you call on the name of Jesus. Now, would God lie? Of course not. God has no reason to lie. You see, I'm trying to say again this morning that the Ten Commandments were given not to restrict us, but really to liberate us. They were given to teach us how to live. You put God first in your life. You don't have any idols. You get a true picture of God. And then you take God seriously. He says, if you honor me, I will honor you. There is life and power and healing in the name of Jesus. There are miracles in the name of Jesus. There is peace and joy in the wonderful name of Jesus. Maybe somebody is saying, well, Pastor, this is great, but you know, I have a hard time with my mouth. Perhaps some of you have a habit of swearing. And how do you break that bad habit? Well, let me tell you. Number one, you admit it to God. You tell God you're sorry. You confess that you have misused His name. And you ask for and accept His forgiveness. And then number two, you commit the problem to God. You say, Lord, I've got a problem. I've got a habit I can't break. James 3:8 says, no one can tame the tongue by his own power. In fact, the Bible says, if you can control your tongue, that's a mark of spiritual maturity. So, since the fruit of the Spirit is self-control, you trust God to give you control to break this habit. And then thirdly, you begin to control what you allow into your mind. And you walk away from those situations where you don't have to listen to garbage. You say, I will not put up with someone taking my Lord's name in vain. And you don't compromise. You don't say, it doesn't bother me. Because it does bother God. And then fourthly, you begin to practice His presence in your life every day, minute by minute. You see, the Bible says that when you become a Christian, Christ comes into your life. And that means that He is with you. Now tell me, do you want to misuse His name in His presence? Do you? Of course you don't. And the more you become aware that Jesus is with you every moment, then the less you'll be likely to say things that will grieve Him. And you will be growing in grace and becoming like Him more every day. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Now let's all bow our heads, shall we? My friend, God loves you so much, and He has a plan for your life, and He wants to work in your life. But He says this morning, I want you to take me seriously. This isn't a game. It's not funny when people use our Lord's name in vain. Jesus, who died on the cross for you, doesn't want His name to be used as an exclamation mark or as a filler in a conversation. He doesn't want it to be used to insult or to intimidate. He doesn't want us to use it as a spiritual badge to impress other people. He doesn't want us to use His name impulsively or as an excuse. Would you pray in your heart right now? Dear God, would you help me to be sincere when I worship? Lord, help me to focus upon you, not to give you lip service, to really concentrate on you and your word. And would you say, Lord, help me to be selective with my words. Help me to watch my mouth. Guard what I say. Help me to limit the things I allow through the filter into my mind. Then would you say, Lord, help me to be consistent in my daily living, to be steadfast in my walk. Lord, I pray that my lifestyle will match my label. Help me to do what I say I believe. Now, if you've never met Jesus Christ, I invite you to meet Him this morning, right here, right now. I'm not talking about a religion. I'm not talking about going to church. I'm talking about a relationship. And every person here can have that relationship, regardless of your background. The important thing is to begin a relationship right now with God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for our sins, and by believing on Him, you may have life in His name. Would you say, Jesus Christ, I want to get to know you. I don't understand it all, but I want to be a believer. I want to have that eternal life that you offer me. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Will you say right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name at this very moment. Save me. Make me your child. I want to belong to you. If you're making that decision, with heads bowed, would you just raise your head and look at me and let me know what you're doing? Yes, yes, yes indeed. God bless you. God bless you. Decisions are being made this morning that will stand the test of eternity. Dear Lord Jesus, honor your word this morning. Grant that work may be done here that will cause the angels in heaven to rejoice, even as new names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We ask this for your dear name's sake. Amen.